Milwaukee police say a 23-year-old man was shot and killed by a police officer following a traffic stop. It all started Friday night. 9 shootings, 5 homicides, all taking place within a matter of hours.
Here in Rio de Janeiro, a superstar swimmer, Ryan Lochte, and 3 other swimmers, we don't know if they're Americans, were robbed last night at gunpoint.
Over 1,000 people have been rescued as torrential rains that began Friday created unprecedented flooding in Louisiana and other parts of the U.S. Gulf Coast.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09. Today is Monday. It's August 15th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day and business week. We've got lots to talk about today. Later in the program, we'll be joined by our airline expert, Rick Cini from faircompare.com. We'll go over the Delta computer glitch and the fallout from that, how much it might cost Delta, what you need to know going forward about how the other airlines are set up. That's a little bit later in the program. Just in a moment, we'll do our Allstate CEO spotlight as well. I hope you have questions, because I do. And our guest has lots of answers. We'll tell you all about that. But first, let's go to the WGN Market Desk. Here's some of your overnight intel from around the world. Global markets generally higher today. In Europe, most of the indices are pointing up. In Asia, mixed signals there. The Nikkei down, Hang Seng, Shanghai up. Here in the U.S., Dow futures are pointing toward a modest open on Wall Street when the opening bell rings later on this morning. Dow futures are up 31 points right now. NASDAQ and S&P futures higher as well. Crude oil is trading about 11 cents higher as well this morning, $44.60 a barrel. A couple of big stories you need to be aware of as you start your day today, and that is we'll be keeping a very close watch on OPEC this week. Is an OPEC production freeze coming? It might be. There is a lot of talk about that today. A lot of analysts are talking about whether oil prices will edge up and potential producer action could be taken to prop up the market. That could be one of the big deals as we move through this week. Also, we'll see the Fed's July policy meeting minutes come out on Wednesday. There's a lot of talk about whether there are any tools left in the toolbox for the Federal Reserve to deal with the problems that might come up with the economy. Also, whether or not they might be leaning toward an interest rate this year. Fed officials have been in the last couple of days dropping hints. San Francisco Fed President John Williams said in a newspaper interview that the Fed's planned gradual pace of interest rate hike means, in his view at least, a hike will come this year. So there is that talk that perhaps we will see an interest rate hike later this year. You have lots of questions. I do. I know last week was a big week for me. There was this story, I think maybe if you saw it on Thursday or heard it, the Greenland shark was announced to be the oldest living vertebrae on the planet. It could live to be up to 400 years old. And we knew today we were having the CEO of Curiosity, at Curiosity.com. It's an app you can download for your iPhone, your smartphone, or Android. And so I immediately went on there, and guess what? There was a lot of information about this shark. They had already done a piece on it. And that's really what it is. It's a lot of questions that are being answered by this app.
Ever wondered what the Northern Lights look like from space? Or who'd win this race? Curious how music affects the brain? A 40-foot giant squid? That's insane! Maybe you want to learn something new. Like, what is deja vu? The world's best learning experiences. Curiosity.com. Never stop learning.
Never stop learning. Gabe Vahovsky is the CEO of Curiosity. Curiosity's been around for a while, but it has really started to hit its own now and is expanding. And Gabe is in the Allstate CEO spotlight today. Gabe, good morning. First, I guess I start with all of our CEOs by asking them what it is that gets them up in the morning and what drives them to be a CEO.
No, I think like many entrepreneurs, I like to build things. I like to see things come from the ground up. And in the case of the business I'm building now, Curiosity, I love the idea of engaging consumers. You know, it's really rewarding to work on a feature, work with the team to build the tech, work with the content team to create the content, and then see the reward come in the form of engagement and people sending you nice things and good comments and lots of shares. And so there is definitely a positive reinforcement that comes from seeing it work.
You have a couple of really cool things in your background. The name of your company, first of all, kind of speaks to what you're doing, Curiosity.
Yeah.
And you come from Discovery.
Yeah.
Two big things. Is that a coincidence?
You know, it's funny. It's a career path that I didn't seek out. It kind of found me. And to add to that, prior to Discovery, I was at How Stuff Works. You know, so I've kind of had this funny trajectory of being involved in companies that really satiate some sense of curiosity. And land on the one I'm building on my own here, being named Curiosity, feels pretty appropriate. But I think I definitely consider myself a genuinely curious person. And I'm a father of three kids, and since I've had them, I've witnessed curiosity in a version that I've never seen before becoming a parent. So it's further support for my career path.
And that's a good point that you bring up there. Is that a big lots of CEOs have muses. They have people who have influenced their career. Do your kids do that for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the underlying things that drove me to do this, so I was at Discovery as an executive vice president, you know, pretty meaningful job. I was enjoying it, learning a ton, large company, started having kids, and couldn't help but be fascinated by the things they'd ask. And I think every parent has these stories. And I kept wondering, when did I stop being like that? When did I stop caring about why the sky was blue or what do ants do in the winter and all these crazy things my kids ask me? I'm like, when did I stop wanting to know those things? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what led me to build Curiosity. I kind of felt like as adults, when do we become so engrossed in our daily lives, our occupations, our hobbies, you know, the needs of our lives that tangential things just don't matter to us anymore. And to kids, there is no such thing as a tangential thing.
Yeah. And even as adults, too, if you find that place in your life where you're always curious, there's always something to learn. As a journalist every day, I learn something. I'm curious about everything. And I think this is, you know, for people, it's something that we should never stop being is curious.
Yeah. And that's kind of the cornerstone of what we're doing. I mean, I think if you're honest with yourself about that process, it does require work. I mean, it's, you know, and in some cases, money. I mean, it's a deep investment as a consumer. If you said, hey, I'm a lifelong learner, and that means that you take the time out of your day to seek things that intrigue you, to engage with them deeply, to wrap your mind around them, that process takes time. You know, what's happening that's important? What's the right source? Is it going to work on my device that I happen to have possession of at a given point in time? And so the easier thing to do is simply not engage in that. And if you think of other industries, look how easy a variety of brands and tools have made pop culture to be accessed, or sports, or news, you know, or finance. I mean, you know, you can go down the list and look at, you know, all these industries that have made impulsive consumption of their content really simple. And when we built Curiosity, we kind of looked at the space and said, you know, no one's really done that for high quality nonfiction content that has a legitimate capacity to exchange knowledge. No one's really made it really easy to impulsively engage in a short form manner. I mean, granted, you can take courses, you can sign up for classes, you can be on a webinar, you can watch a 15-minute TED Talk. Those things require a fair degree of commitment. But to log in, pop open an app, look at something, know it's going to be good, know it's going to make you wonder, you know, something more about it, and then have a satiating 3 to 5 minute experience, we feel like that's pretty novel. But it's to your point, like you, I think myself and the folks that work with me on this project have that desire of like it feels pretty darn good to be curious and then, you know, satiate that curiosity.
We'll continue our conversation with Gabe Vahovsky, the CEO of Curiosity.com, the app. You can find it at Curiosity with the word dot spelled out com. And you can find them online as well, curiosity.com, with the real period there. And we'll continue our conversation. This is the CEO Spotlight, sponsored by Allstate.
ABC News, Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. Shares were mostly higher today in Asia. That followed a record-setting week on Wall Street. Investors remained cautious ahead of the release of U.S. housing, inflation, and manufacturing data. On Wall Street Friday, shares were essentially flat. Investors focused on recent company earnings and data showing U.S. retail sales were more sluggish than expected in July. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.2%. The S&P 500 index lost 0.1%, and the NASDAQ edged 0.1% higher. Officials said today that China will propose a joint venture to revive weak global growth at next month's meeting of leaders of Group of 20 major economies. Target wants to fix some problems with its grocery business. The Wall Street Journal says shoppers have not been going to the retailer often enough to purchase groceries. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 521, our Allstate CEO Spotlight today features Gabe Vahofsky, the CEO of Curiosity.com, the app on iPhone and Android. And Gabe is with us this morning talking about the app. Gabe, if you could tell us, give us for radio, obviously, a sense of what we see when we go to the app or go to the webpage.
And so if you went to the app and it's downloadable both in Android and iOS, simple search of Curiosity, you'll find it. The experience initiates with a graphic image. We call it a smart graphic or a smart meme, and it's essentially an image, and it is, we like to think it has three dimensions. There's something very particular you're looking at, so we have really rich graphics, we have really exceptional designers. There's integrated fact, and then there's kind of an implicit call to action that suggests to you the next step to learn more about this. So, you know, that, and we feature five topics a day in that format on our app. And the idea is, signal capture for us. So we show you these five things, and it's unlikely that all five of them are going to pique your curiosity, but it's very likely that as you scroll through one of them, you'll look at it and you'll have that light bulb moment and say, I now need to know about this. I mean, today, case in point, I've taken the train down here, and we have one piece today that speaks to a word origin. And so we all know what deja vu means, and there's an opposite of that. So deja vu is something that you swear you've seen before. There's a jamais vu that means you see something that should be very familiar to you, but you have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. And so we have this really simple graphic that explains that concept, and it's hard to not be intrigued by that. It's hard to not be, you know, tell me more about that. What's the origin of that? Or I've experienced that. And that's kind of what leads people down to saying, click, let me learn a little bit more. Let me read a little bit about it. Let me watch a little bit about it. Let me share it with a friend. Let me repost it on my Facebook. And that's effectively how our business is growing.
Who's the target for this? Everyone? And how do you make money?
So the target, we like to think of it more in terms of psychographic rather than demographic. So we didn't really go out and say, this is our age bracket. We just kind of feel like lifelong learners. And if I were to say it's a bell curve, the middle of the bell curve is largely millennial. So kind of your 18 to 35 is the bulk of our users. But we tail off in both directions. We have a surprising number of folks that, you know, you can maybe characterize as baby boomers or empty nesting baby boomers that have newfound time on their hands and recognize the value of keeping themselves intellectually stimulated. They like to use the product. We do pretty well with teachers and schools and kids. And for example, with my three kids, this is kind of our bedtime routine: is get out the Curiosity app, flip through, find one thing that resonates with the kids, and spend 5 minutes with it. And there's my bedtime story. So pretty broad ranging, but I would say millennial as the core target. In terms of how we make money, we're working with brands who have interesting stories to tell. So you can imagine a scenario where, let's just say you're Under Armour and you have this great new fabric technology that claims to allow your body to cool itself faster than it could without this fabric. Mm-hmm. And so as a consumer, that could evoke curiosity, and you could be thinking, hey, does this shirt really drop my body temperature? And we could explain that concept to you and say, yes, it does, and it has this wicking technology. And so you're now learning about this concept of the human body having a threshold of temperature at which point you just shut down. And with the right fabrics, with the right hydration, perhaps you can avoid reaching that point. And so in that context, we allow consumers to engage a brand in a very authentic manner. So it's not an ad. We're not putting in 30-second spots. We're not doing banner ads. The way that we're working with brands is we're looking to integrate brands as storytellers. That's a very natural part of the Curiosity experience.
Because every brand does have a story to tell. I mean, that's what they're doing in that 30 seconds.
Yeah. You know, and I think most brands they feel constrained when publishers and, you know, traditional media likes to put their stories in a container and say, make it 30, make it 15, make it a banner, make it a print ad. When in fact, some stories just don't lend themselves to being templatized like that. And so we like this opportunity, and that story could be heritage. That story could be their innovation. That story could be the extraordinary things they're doing with sustainability. So we're ironically being somewhat selective. You know, I think as a young company, any business is good business, but we are being very intentional, and right now our main focus as a business is reaching out to brands, CMOs, and folks that work in communications departments and saying, there's an exciting new way for you all to tell stories. And if you think about that, stories are how we remember things as human beings. I mean, stories are extraordinarily powerful. And so if you're a brand and you know, you tell consumers this interesting story about your brand, your product, your people. The next time somebody sees you on a shelf or sees your ad or considers buying, you know, a product in your category, they're going to remember that story. You know, and that's kind of the, to me, the holy grail of marketing is how do you get your brand to be remembered. So we think this branded storytelling opportunity could be pretty large for us.
And for the millennials, the loyalty to a brand is important, and I can't think of a better way to build that loyalty than to have that story. And also you're sort of attacking this notion of intrusive advertising on the web that people absolutely hate.
Yeah, and that, you know, that, and that's something that, you know, we talk about a lot. And when's the last time that, you know, you enjoyed a pre-roll ad, you know, or a banner ad for that matter, or how fast do you run for the skip ad button when it's made available to you? And so those are all trends that they're kind of factual, and we all recognize them, maybe anecdotally, but that seems to be the soup du jour, and that's just kind of the way you play online. And we like the idea of challenging that status quo and saying, in the right context, a brand doesn't have to be an advertiser. A brand could actually be a knowledge partner. You know, so if you're learning about some concept related to 3D printing and how revolutionary it is, and how at some point in our near future, the next time we need a thing, we just print it, and that's really fascinating you, there should be something there from HP, who's investing billions of dollars into 3D printing. There should be something there from, you know, Dremel, who is building an in-classroom, at-home 3D printing module. There should be something there from these brands. There's few entities on the planet investing more time and more thought into that concept than these companies. And so why not have them be part of your learning experience in the right context?
We continue our conversation with Gabe Vahofsky after the bell. We'll hear more about what's coming up for Chicago's Curiosity app at curiosity.com. We'll post a full broadcast podcast of our online discussion later this morning at WGNradio.com. CEO Spotlight sponsored by Allstate. It's curiosity.com CEO Gabe Vahofsky. Curiosity makes you smart. Get informed with 5 new amazing topics delivered daily.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:40. Illinois has the 23rd lowest closing cost in the country, according to a new BankRate.com report. We'll tell you what those closing costs are and what the impact of this is as we have a conversation now here with Holden Lewis, who's the senior mortgage analyst at BankRate.com. BankRate.com has released this new report on closing costs. Holden, welcome to the opening bell. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Steve.
It's great to have you with us this morning. So we see this report. We've gone through it, digested a little bit. What should the takeaway be?
The takeaway should be that when you're getting a mortgage, you really, really need to comparison shop. You know, there's a lot of variation from the cheapest state to the most expensive state, but there's even more variation among lenders basically in your neighborhood. You know, I mean, if you apply at 2 or 3 different places, there's a pretty good possibility that one of those lenders will be hundreds of dollars cheaper in closing costs than the others. So really pays to shop around.
What are closing costs on average in Illinois, and how do they rank? We mentioned 23rd, but give us a sense of where financially we fall in that mix.
Illinois, in our survey, and basically our survey says you're buying a house, you're borrowing $200,000. Illinois was 2,079, just in case you're interested, Indiana, 2,057. And those are just a little bit below the average of $2,128.
The interesting part about this is we would, before I think the housing crisis, really not have a good, accurate snapshot of what these closing costs are from place to place. What has changed in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years?
A couple of things have changed. Of course, closing costs keep going up. You know, I mean, it's just inflation. They keep going up and up. But the more important thing that's changed is that the estimates are more accurate. When you apply for a loan, you get this loan estimate form. It's more accurate than the old-fashioned good faith estimates that people used to get before last October. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau just instituted all these changes. And the main one is that this new loan estimate form is easier to understand, and it's required to be more accurate.
I guess we always think when we go get a mortgage that pretty much all of these lenders have to have the same rules that they're following. How can closing costs, and why are they different from place to place?
A lot of it is, I think, lenders just don't count on you comparison shopping. You know, one lender will just charge more direct fees than another. But also, we count third-party fees, certain third-party fees. And, you know, some lenders just have business relationships with their third-party fee providers, like the appraisers, credit reporting agencies, flood certifications, that kind of thing. And, you know, if they get economies of scale or just good deals, then they can pass along those savings to you. You know, I do want to add that in our closing cost survey, we do not include title insurance, title taxes, title search taxes, homeowners insurance, those kinds of things, because they can just vary so much.
So the figure that is in the rate of for Illinois, the average closing cost, about $2,079. If you go to the top of the list, how much cheaper are those closing costs? What state is that and why?
The top state is Hawaii, a very, very expensive state for just about everything. And that was $2,655. So we're talking about almost $600 more. And following that was New York.
So the lower you go then on the scale, the better it is for you as the consumer.
I would think so. Sure. You know, I mean, lower closing costs mean cheaper mortgage. It also makes it cheaper to refinance. So when you refinance, you come into the money quicker, basically.
Give our listeners a sense of, because this is always a nervous time for people when they go and sit down with a banker or a lender, the right questions to ask so that they know all of this stuff, all of these figures, and aren't afraid to get them from the lender.
The main thing to ask is, you know, if there's a fee that just looks out of place, it looks unusually high or even unusually low, just to ask, well, what is this fee for exactly? What is a processing fee? That kind of thing. But, you know, don't get bogged down into individual fees either. The loan estimate breaks them down into various categories, various buckets. You know, the fees charged directly by the lender, the fees charged by third parties, and then those other fees that are like homeowners insurance and that kind of thing. And pay attention to those first two categories and just pay attention to the totals of those first two categories. And, you know, don't get so hung up on what the individual fees are.
Are consumers, are the lenders expecting us to shop around? So if we get into this process and find somebody that we think we're going to go with, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, by the way, your closing costs are going to be this, and you're like, I've seen Bankrate survey, I can do better. Are they expecting you to walk away, or how does that even happen?
You know, I think most lenders really, they don't expect people to comparison shop. People tend to really, really focus on that interest rate. And, you know, I mean, I think we're all kind of naturally lazy a little bit. We don't like to apply a whole bunch of different places. It takes time, and we have to photocopy even more documents and that sort of thing. One thing I want to mention is that when you apply for multiple mortgage inside a 14-day window, that is all counted as one credit inquiry as far as affecting your credit score. You know, and that's a rule that's designed to encourage you to comparison shop.
And that's good to know, because people might think if they make multiple inquiries, that is going to hurt their credit. Holden, as we close out the interview here, I want to ask, what you've seen probably a lot of new regulations in force since the housing crisis that help consumers. What's still out there that you'd like to see put in place?
Wow, I think, you know, one thing I'd really like to see put in place is probably more accuracy needed on these loan estimates. There's the part where the lender estimates its own fees has to be exactly on the money. there's some wiggle room, I think, of 10% on the third-party charges. And, you know, it'd be really nice if they actually had to nail that down perfectly accurately, too.
Holden Lewis is a senior mortgage analyst at Bankrate.com with us this morning talking about closing costs. Illinois, the 23rd lowest closing costs in the country. Holden, thanks for being with us in the opening bell today.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We told you Rixini was going to be on the broadcast today. We've had a technical problem getting in touch with him. We'll try to reschedule him for another day. We apologize for that. Right now, let's head to the WGN market desk for another update on the markets this morning. Dow futures are pointing up near 37 points. The Dow, S&P up about 3. NASDAQ futures pointing up as well. Let's get the latest on commodity and other ag news. And Orion Samuelson is with us this morning. Good morning, Orion.
A good Monday morning to you, Steve, as we begin another interesting trading week in the commodity world. Last Friday, after the August crop report, corn futures dropped to a 7-year low and hit contract lows in all months after the record corn number. Soybeans also eased because the estimate was it would be the biggest soybean crop in history, but strong demand, particularly from importers in China, offset much of the pressure. So, an unusual day. Soybeans, the nearby contract, down 27¾ cents a bushel, but new crop November beans, down a penny. And after hitting those lows, September corn came back to close 2 cents higher, and new crop December corn up 1¾ cents. In the livestock world, hogs did end the week higher, well, for the day on Friday. After the August contract expired, it was basically a technical rebound, but the October hog contract settled up $1.57 a hundredweight. Meanwhile, October live cattle down just 2 cents a hundredweight. It's another great week for state fairs, and tomorrow I'll be heading for Springfield, Illinois, the Illinois State Fair on Salute to Agriculture Day. I'll be there to emcee the morning breakfast salute to the farmers and their families of Illinois. And then tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, the auction, well, it's the governor's auction of grand champions. Commodity champions followed by the livestock champions. See you tomorrow at the Illinois State Fair. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. We have a couple of other stories we want to tell you about before we leave you this morning. First, an update to a story that we had on our Allstate CEO Spotlight a few weeks ago. You remember we had Alexis Newman in from Mark 9, which is the organization that's helping police dogs in their retirement with care. Over the weekend, Governor Rauner at the Illinois State Fair signed a bill into law that will allow for the retirement of police dogs. It will treat them more like police officers in their retirement. Right now, they get no care, no health or benefits, anything like that. And there's no guarantee that the canine officer can take their dog with them into retirement. That all changes now. The governor signed the canine cop retirement bill over the weekend at the Illinois State Fair. Also, there was a big delay over the weekend of what is being called the Flying Bum. I don't know if you've seen this. It's called the Airlander 10. It is the world's largest flying machine. It is basically a helium balloon airplane mix, a giant aircraft in the UK. It was grounded yesterday, and its inaugural flight will be postponed by a few days. The reason this is a big deal, because if it works, it can carry cargo, lots of cargo, at a low price. It relatively uses no fuel, and it doesn't pollute the environment as well. So we'll be watching for the Airlander 10's inaugural flight, which was delayed yesterday. On the calendar for the day ahead, we expect the National Association of Home Builders to release its housing market index for August. Also, the Treasury Department will release data on international money flows in June. That's all coming up today.